last chapter of Genesis. This will be the last Sunday that we are in Genesis. And next week, we will go to the Gospel of Luke. First couple of weeks, we're going to take one chapter at a time. Some of the chapters in Luke's Gospel are a little bit long. First few chapters tell what we call the Christmas theme. I don't like that word Christmas. I'd rather use the word incarnation. But I don't know what you're talking about. I'll say that. Very incarnation. That just doesn't float off as well as Merry Christmas. But the incarnation when God became man. But that's what we celebrate. The world talks about tinsel and Santa Claus and the North Pole and all that. We talk about Jesus and that. And the book of Genesis is the beginning of God's grace. As we read in the book of Genesis, the creation, all the universe by God, and then the judgment of sin being committed, and because of that sin passed upon all men, and the judgment of God. And then God, immediately after man's sin, began to reveal his plan of redemption. And that's what the book of Genesis is all about. And it uses sinful men to reveal something about himself. He uses sinful men to reveal his perfect plan of righteousness. And we've talked about the three patriarchs, who are Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. And I call them the three patriarchs because to them, those three were given the promise. Out of you a great nation will come. Out of you a Messiah will come. They're all given the same promise, and they're a picture for us. And not a very good picture because it's humanity trying to picture an almighty God. A picture of Abraham is God the Father, Isaac, promised son, God the Son, and Jacob, Israel, God the Holy Spirit. And then we come to the last third, really, of the book of Genesis. About Joseph. Joseph gives to us a picture of a spirit-filled Christian. I believe the more I study the book of Genesis, the more I believe that to be the best way to look at the book. In the last section, especially the last chapter, and really throughout the life of Joseph, when I think of Joseph, there's one word that I would describe him, and that is forgiveness. Can't think of a better quality than what we see in Joseph, is that of forgiveness. And I gave you a handout on Wednesday night, and I want to read that statement that I put on there again. And I said I'm going to read it each service because this, to me, is key to understanding the life of Joseph. And it says, considering Joseph as a picture of a spirit-filled Christian, it is no coincidence that at every event in Joseph's life, we see a great lesson on forgiveness. I would dare say that the greatest attribute of a spiritual Christian is that of forgiveness. I would also say that the most notable attribute of a carnal Christian is when we think we understand all we need concerning forgiveness. It would be nothing short of blasphemy to think I could fully understand the heart and the mind of God, or to think I have a complete grasp His love and forgiveness. God says in Ephesians 4, forgive one another even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. If we say that we forgive him as God, we have to be God to say that fully. I want you to read with me in Genesis chapter number 50, in verse number 15 through 21 for our text this morning. Genesis chapter number 50. Beginning in verse number 15, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly require us all the evil that we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sins. But they did not, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of thy servants and the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spoke. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not. Doesn't that sound like Jesus? Fear ye not. I will nourish you. Talk about a picture of Jesus here. I'll nourish you, feed you, and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. What a great lesson we have on forgiveness. Kind of got my notes all mixed up, but I want to give you something to write down. I encourage you, whenever you study the Bible, to have a pen and paper in your hand. And I want to put some things on the screen to make sure you get them this morning. But I'll say this, I jotted this down in my notes. Lesson number one of the Christian life is Jesus is perfect. Amen? If you're a Christian, you understand, and the longer you live, the more you need to be reminded of that. Only Jesus is perfect. Towards all others, we will spend our life, including ourselves. We'll spend our life learning to forgive ourselves and others. Jesus is the only one we never have to forgive. And we'll never fully understand what forgiveness is. Our Father, we pray that you would bless your word this morning. But God, help us to focus on you and you alone this morning as we study this great book that we call the Bible, the book. And this message, this lesson on forgiveness, there's so much that could be said. Lord, we're just going to focus on a few things that we see very clearly illustrated in Joseph's life. I pray that you would teach us to apply them to our lives as New Testament believers. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside of all who have put their faith and trust in Christ. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would open the Word of God to us today to give us clarity of thought and understanding. Study your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're in Genesis chapter number 40, or chapter number 50, I'm sorry. Genesis chapter number 50. And I want to focus on, and again, every time I read this, I think of about 10 more things that I could add to. I've got 7 things that I want to give you this morning that I want to make sure you get them. And I've tried to make them as concise and thorough as possible at the same time. And I'm calling it How a Christian Forgives. And again, we see all of these things in the life of Joseph, who serves for us in the book of Genesis a picture or a model of a Spirit-filled Christian. Now keep in mind that each one of us that have put our faith and trust in Christ have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. That's an amazing thing to think about. That's like the statement we sang in that song earlier, that to think that the God of all creation became a baby. The God of all creation lives inside of us. And I ask a question that was asked earlier in the book of Genesis, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything I cannot do? Not with God inside of me. Not through His grace. But let me just focus on these things, and I need to keep my attention zeroed in on these things because I thought of I think 3 more when I just read the text that I wanted to add to my list, but I'm not going to do that. How a Christian forgives. First of all, we need to realize that forgiveness is a miracle of grace. I cannot forgive on my own. I cannot fully forgive on my own. Some folks are, and we live in a day where we've got a pill for everything, don't we? A pill to wake us up, a pill to put us to sleep, a pill when we got an owie, a pill when we got a headache, a pill when we're feeling this way or that way. We're not talking about a pill. We're not talking about a little prayer. We say, God, help me forgive. Okay, that's done. And we're not talking about a preacher talk. Well, the preacher told me this, and I can do this, and here's a little exercise you can do. Forgiveness is simply a miracle of grace. Remember what the definition of grace is. And I just remind you of that. Grace is God doing truly what is humanly impossible. I cannot forgive anyone the way God wants me to forgive them. To think that I've understood that, to think that I can forgive people, to think that I really love people, would be putting myself on the pedestal with God. And I dare not do that. I cannot forgive like Jesus forgives. And Jesus said, forgive, and we'll look at some of these verses a little bit later, forgive even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, as God has forgiven us. So first of all, forgiveness is a miracle. And again, we focus on the life of Joseph. I'm going to read some things about Joseph and the other points, but I just want to say that one at the beginning. Forgiveness is a miracle of God. And secondly, others will never understand forgiveness. Look at the text that we read in Genesis chapter number 15, in verse number 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us. By the way, Joseph had long forgiven his brothers, but they didn't trust that. Oh, yeah, wait, because they thought he was like them. An unforgiving person will never trust anyone else's forgiveness. And they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly require us of all the evil. He's going to pay us back now. Remember all those things that we did to him? He's going to get us back now, sure as that we're standing here. And they sent a messenger. They didn't even dare go to him. They sent a messenger to Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive. I pray thee now the trespass of my brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servants. And the God of thy father and Joseph wept when they spake. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face and said, behold, we be thy servants. Unbelievers and carnal believers can never get the forgiveness. They're constantly asking others, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me? And our spiritual person's already forgave them a long time ago. And we're constantly praying, God, would you forgive me of this? Would you forgive me of that? God's already forgiven us. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed the transgressions from us. God's already, all we have to do is claim and accept his forgiveness and thank him, praise him for his forgiveness. Instead of begging him for his forgiveness over and over again when he said, I already forgave you. But a carnal person and a lost person can never understand that. And Joseph's brothers could never understand what it was to forgive. But Joseph had long since forgiven and forgotten all the evil things. We'll get to that one in a little bit. But others will never understand when you learn to what forgiveness is. And then I want you to get this. Only God has the right for vengeance. Only God has the right for vengeance. And remember the statement that the brothers sent to a messenger saying, he's going to get at us. He's going to let us have what we deserve. He's out for us now. He was only holding back because Dad was around. Now that Dad's gone, he's coming after us as sure as can be. Notice what it says in verse number 19 of Genesis chapter number 50. I don't need to turn the page yet. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God. The reason we cannot forgive, the reason we get angry, is because we think we're God. By the way, God's the only one that has a right to be angry, and God is the only one that has a right for vengeance. And let me give you a couple of verses of Scripture, we won't take time to turn there. I'll read them to you in Romans chapter number 12. And in our lesson I gave you on Wednesday night, I've been putting a corresponding verse with each of the outlines we've been giving you as we go through the book of Genesis, a corresponding verse in the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 12, verse 17 through 21 says, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place for wrath. And that place for wrath is not in my heart, by the way. And get it out of your life. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Remember what Joseph said he's going to do for his brothers and for his little ones? He's going to take care of them. He's going to feed them. He's going to house them. He's going to clothe them. He's going to make sure every need is met. Why? Because he's forgiven them. And he's not out for vengeance. That's never even a thought in his mind. If he thirst, give him drink. And so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And let me say this, that verse, a lot of people like to pull out that little phrase in there because we don't understand what it's saying. In so doing this, you're going to heat coals of fire. Now that sounds painful, doesn't it? You want coals of fire dumped on your head? That sounds like, boy, I'm going to let them have it. I'm going to scold them. Boy, I'm just going to shower them with goodness because that's going to make them so irritated and so angry. It's exactly the opposite meaning in the Scripture. What that's talking about is make them comfortable. I remember, I'm going to go back a few years, Esther Meyer. I remember Esther Meyer. She was 150 years old when I came here. And no, she wasn't quite that. It seemed like she'd been around. She was an old lady as far back as people could remember, but she was the sweetest little old lady you've ever met. And I love to talk to Esther about, because she grew up in this church. She's come here all her life. She lived out in the country in a farm. And I remember her telling the story a couple of times to us where they come to church on Sunday in their uncovered wagon, their open wagon. And, of course, this was before global warming and climate change, so it wasn't as cold back then as it is now, right? And they had a long ride behind the horses in that wagon. And on the way here, they would have, they'd scoop a bunch of coals out of the fire and kept their house warm. And they put them in a metal container of some type and put it in the middle of the wagon. And all the way into town, they'd huddle around that coal to keep themselves warm. And that's what God's talking about, heaping coals of fire upon their head, giving them a warm place, giving them a comfortable place, taking care of them, making sure all their needs are met. And that fits into the context with the statement. I know it's easy to pull that one statement out and get a different picture than what God is giving. But notice that statement. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. When we fail to forgive, we're overcome. In fact, Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 18, he's going to turn us over to the tormentors when we refuse to forgive. That is such a strong statement because we think, well, we deserve this. We have a right to be upset. Only God has a right for vengeance. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. We'll see that in a little bit, what Joseph says. But let's go on to the next one. And again, I'm trying to stick to this. I know I won't get through it if I go every direction the Lord's been showing me. As we've been studying the book of Genesis, I'm sorry, I didn't give you that statement. I want to put it up there so you can get it. Anger and unforgiveness is evidence that we have not put ourselves on the throne, or that we have put ourselves on the throne that God rightly deserves. Did I read that wrong or did I say it wrong? That we have put ourselves. When we get angry or when we fail to forgive someone, that's evidence that we ourselves are our own God. That we have taken the throne of our soul that God rightfully deserves, as He is our owner. And I have a right to be angry. I have a right to be upset. No, not if God's on your throne. If you're on your throne, if you're running your life, yes, you do. But if God's your, if He's your Lord, if you are walking with Him, you never have a right to be angry, to be upset, to not forgive. Anger and unforgiveness is, and that's and the thing that God says about forgiveness, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. He says the same thing about anger in Ephesians chapter 5. Let all anger be put away. Ephesians chapter number 4. Let all anger be put away. Well, what about Jesus? He got angry. Yeah, he was God too, remember? Yeah. I have righteous indignation. You know what righteous indignation is, don't you? Or for those that don't know what indignation is. righteous anger. Righteous anger is when I'm angry. Unrighteous anger is when you're angry. Huh? That's the difference. It's kind of like major and minor surgery. You know, I'm going to the hospital to have major surgery. What's major surgery? Anything that's done on this body is major. If it's on you, I mean, it could be heart surgery. If it's on you, oh, that's just minor. No, because it's all about us. We don't want to admit that, but that's the way we think. And if we cannot forgive someone or we're angry at someone, it's because we're on the throne of God for a long time. Number four, I've got seven of these, so I gotta keep going. Knowing a sovereign God makes forgiveness not easy, but easier. Knowing that God is a sovereign God. Notice what Joseph said again, verse number 20. But as for you, ye thought it evil against me. But what's it say? God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Knowing that God is sovereign, that He is in control of all things. I talk much about the sovereignty of God, and I know that word is a word that a lot of folks are afraid of, because a lot of people have taken that word to defined it to mean something that God never intended it to mean. And we see the sovereignty. I've talked much about the sovereignty of God in the book of Genesis. In fact, I put on your handout there a quote from Spurgeon. Let me read that again, because you may not have got that when we talked about it before. How wonderful, and by the way, Spurgeon is sometimes condemned by people as being a Calvinist. If he was a Calvinist, I'm the same kind of Calvinist as he is. And depending on what your terminology is and how you define things, but I love these words that he said concerning the free will and the predestination of God. How wonderfully those two things meet in practical harmony. The free will of man and the predestination of God. Man acts just as freely and just as guilty as if there were no predestination whatsoever. And God ordains, arranges, and supervises and overrules just as accurately as if there were no free will in the universe. By the way, if you can understand the predestination and the free will compared to the free will of man, you're a lot smarter than I am. I guarantee you that. In fact, I don't believe it's humanly possible for us to fully grasp and understand that truth. And that's the best statement I've ever found concerning the balance of those two. Then, number five. We understand that God has a purpose. And this terrible thing happened. God had a purpose in that. God knew that was going to happen. You know, there's no spread. Well, let me go on. Number five. Forgetfulness is a part of forgiveness. Forgetfulness is a part of forgiveness. And I've got to be real careful here, because some people jump to all kinds of ridiculous conclusions with this statement. And you're going to read things into this that I'm not saying, or you're going to say things that I didn't say and put words in my mouth and thoughts in my head when I talk about this. But I want you to notice something. And there's a question I asked on the paper that we'll get to it the next one. Remember Joseph's two sons back in Genesis 41? Remember the two sons that he had? Let me read the verses of Genesis 41. You know the text. You know the names of them. Let me remind you, Genesis 41, verse 50 and 52. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. And he said, for God, he said he, hath made me to forget all my God caused me to forget forget all my toil. And all my father's house, in the name of the second called the Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. God hath caused me to be forgetful of all my toil, and to be fruitful in my affliction, in my circumstance. Let me ask you something. Will you ever forget the circumstances of your life in the past? There are some things you'll never forget. Well, I can't forgive and I can't forget. They're not synonymous. But there's something we do have to learn to forgive. Joseph did not forget the evil that his brothers did. But he said, well, wait a minute. He said, you caused me to forget all the things, all the evil that happened to me. Let me clarify it with this statement. And I've said this many times, and I want to make sure you get it, because so many people never really get this. This is just a simple lesson that I've learned about 150 times, and I probably have about 600 times to learn it before I go to heaven. It's something we never fully get. When it comes to forgiveness and forgetting. We're not forgetting the circumstances, but we're forgetting the pain. Did you get that? Notice again what Joseph said, and I put it up there. He's caused me to forget all my toil. Forget all the pain that it caused. In other words, I look back with pleasant memories from my brothers. Surely they played in the sand lot together once in a while. And tossed rocks back and forth and played marbles with rocks or whatever. And he said, I don't forget all the things my brothers did, but I forget all the pain that was caused. That's gone completely. What do I mean by that? This is how God taught me and continues to teach me. If someone's done something wrong to me, and of course I think I'm God and I got a vengeance and let my point of view be known and everything, yeah, whatever. You do whatever you want to. But they've broken your heart. They've crushed you. They've tried to destroy you. And say, well, I'm having a hard time forgiving you. Anybody ever struggle with forgiveness, by the way? Huh? I'm just seeing if anybody's honest. Most of you are honest enough. And you say, well, how? And I hear this statement made all the time. Well, I forgive, but I never forget. Well, just that tone tells me you haven't forgiven. What does it mean to forgive and not forget? I saw something the other day when shopping with my wife. We did some Christmas shopping. I said, I'll go shopping if you feed me. So she fed me, so I went shopping. But I saw a book that I wanted to pick up and read, but I didn't have time to read it, and I didn't want to buy it for it. I didn't buy it because I'm not sure what it was. It sparked my attention. It had to do with forgiveness and forgetting. Because a lot of people think, well, I can forgive, but I can hang on to it. Here's the difference. If someone does something, and every time I think back on that thing, stirs up some emotions again, I have not forgiven. Did you catch that? If my emotions are stirred again when I look back, what happened? I have not. Let me say that again, because some of you are looking at me like, what did you just say? If I forgive someone, though I cannot forget it, and someone talks about it, or I see that person, or something brings it back, if my emotions are stirred, that's proof to me I really haven't forgiven. I'll tell you how God showed me, because I said, okay, God, I've forgiven, I've forgotten, then I run into it. And something sparks a memory, and all of a sudden, start gritting your teeth. Start clenching your fists. Or you feel your blood pressure going up. Or you feel a thermometer going up. Your head starts turning red. I've watched people. They look at me and they're in a conversation and you can see the blood going up in their head and it turned red and it's about to explode and say, but God, I've forgiven them. But you can't tell them that because they would never believe you. I've forgiven them. I just haven't forgotten. When you truly have by the way, that's not something you can do on your own. That's a miracle. Go back to number one on our list. Forgiveness is a miracle of God's grace. God doing in me what I cannot do. I can go back and talk about that situation, that purpose, that person, or whatever I did, or whatever the situation, and I can joke about it now because it doesn't bother me. I can tell everybody about it because it doesn't bother me anymore. And I've had folks say, well, I don't want to talk about that because it's going to stir up all those emotions. May I suggest you need to learn to forgive? Are you with me this morning? Did I done lose everybody there? It's not nap time yet. If I get emotional and upset about something, that's true. I have not forgiven. Yeah. I've forgotten all the spoil. I've not forgotten the circumstances, the trial, the trouble, the heartache, the pain, the suffering I went through, that's in the past. That's put aside over here. I'm not going to continually remind myself of it. Number six, one of the six ones. Forgiveness is the fruit of the Spirit. Forgiveness is the fruit of the Spirit. A couple of verses I wish I had time to turn to and show them to you. I want to just put them up on the screen for you to see. Forgiveness is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter number 5 is a chapter that talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 verse 15 and 16 says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. There's an interesting statement. I just got to blow my steam every once in a while. I just got to get upset and angry. But you get off the throne, let God sit on that throne and get over that. But this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust. And then going down to Galatians 5, verse 22 through 25, you know what those verses say. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. I always get them in the wrong order, so I got to look at it. Faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you're a spiritual Christian, you have to walk in the Spirit. Genesis 50, look at verse number 21 in Genesis 50. Now therefore, fear ye not, Joseph said, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them. And spake kindly unto him. Forgiveness knows this gap. Forgiveness knows no harsh, critical words or spirit. When I've forgiven somebody, I'm not going to every once in a while, I just got to let them know what I feel about that whole situation. Not if I've forgiven them. I don't have to be harsh. They did that to me before. I think they're going to do it again. I'm not. You're holding on to something you have not forgiven. And I say this from experience and also from the study of Moses or Joseph's life. All of us, if we're honest, have experience and we struggle to get victory over these things. And if we think we understand it, but we're holding on to that bitterness and that unforgiveness, we're deceiving no one but ourselves. Forgiveness knows no harsh, critical words or attitude or spirit. Ephesians 4 and verse number 29 through 32 says, let no corrupt proceed out of your mouth. In other words, don't say anything critical, harsh, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Forgiveness is fruit of the Spirit. It is walking in the Spirit. It is allowing God to take control of our life and instead of us trying to take control of our lives. And then, this is I want to preach a whole message on this last one, but I'm just going to have to give it to you and refer to the reference in the Old Testament. Daily fellowship with Jesus builds forgiveness. Daily fellowship with Jesus builds forgiveness. Oftentimes people come to the preacher and they want a pill, they want a prayer, they want something, words of wisdom from the preacher, they want a counseling session. Pastor, can you give me this to help me walk with Jesus? Just walk with Jesus. Let Him control your life. It's really that simple. That's all it is. Walk with Jesus. Be real with Him. Be real, honest with Him in prayer. We can't be honest with Him. We can't be honest with ourselves or with other people. I'm going to refer back to something in Genesis chapter number 48. I wish I had time to go back and talk about this more. I think I mentioned it last week in the handout. I suggested that it be a worthy study, and I wanted to preach a message on it then, but I thought I'm going to save it for to add it, tack it on to this week's lesson on forgiveness. Remember when Jacob blessed Joseph's sons in Genesis 48? And remember the two sons. Their names were Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh was the first one that means the Lord has caused me to forget all my trouble. And Ephraim was the second born. That means the Lord has blessed me in my affliction. But when Jacob blessed the two sons there in front of Joseph, he switched them around. Why would he do that? I asked that question to you out last week. Did you give me that thought? Why do you do that? Well, because Jacob had that done to him when he was a kid, and he wanted them to experience the same thing. That's the carnal explanation, maybe the simple, but that has nothing to do with it. Why did he switch them around? Because he's teaching us a spiritual lesson here. Remember, Manasseh means to forget all my toil. And Ephraim means to be fruitful in my life. And when you switch them around, the Ephraim to be fruitful in my affliction causes me to forgive. Now it was exactly the opposite in Joseph's life. He forgot all his toil and God caused him. But what I'm emphasizing here, you keep walking with God. You get in your Bible. You have a communion and a fellowship and be real and honest and come boldly to the throne of grace and pour your heart out to Him and be. Don't try to put on a false facade before others and before God and come to Him as a broken Christian and be real with Him. You realize when I walk in the Spirit, that's when God continues to get all the toil that I've gone through. God reverses it. You see, it works both ways. Well, I just need to forget all these things and then God will bless me. Or, also, I need the blessing of God because that will help me forget all those things that you're struggling with. Oh, wow. What a great truth that is. That when we have fellowship with Jesus Christ, when we just focus on walking with Him, He helps us. Think that I know all there is about forgiveness. How do you feel to make such a statement? But let me just ask this question today. What are you hanging on to? What is it that you've not let go of? Well, you don't know what happened to me when I was a child. You don't know what happened to me when I was in this abusive situation. And I try to forget it because whenever I remember it, it just stirs up those emotions. I would suggest you go back and remember them and feel them. And those emotions will disappear. God will transform your way. And when you see that person, you won't get upset at them. You won't be angry at them. In fact, you'll say, you're a blessing to me. Because you taught me. That's what James is talking about, not at all joy. All of that mercy and patience. What Peter, now some of you look at me, Pastor, you're all beings. Well, I might be, but I believe that's what the that God shows us what forgiveness is through life. Joseph. Well, I can't forgive this. I will not. I don't realize what you're saying. If I die to myself, I will live to Christ. I mentioned it earlier when we were always asking people to forgive us, or always asking God to forgive us. That tells us we don't know the first thing about forgiveness. Instead of asking God to forgive us, we need to accept His forgiveness. And instead of saying, well, I just need to die on the cross. No, I died with Christ on the cross. I just need to accept the fact that I'm dead. And if I am dead with Christ, Galatians chapter number 2 says, if I'm dead with Christ, I am risen with Christ. And I can walk in a new life because I can't accept the fact that, it doesn't matter. I'm dead to those things. I'm no longer on the throne. God's on the throne. He died for me. And He rose from the dead to walk in newness of life. I can walk in a new life because of what He's done for me. And I accept His forgiveness. And again, Joseph forgave them a long time ago. They never understood that. Because they didn't understand what forgiveness is. I dare say a lot of folks don't understand what forgiveness is. They're always like, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me? It's past. It's like, and I just kind of joke with them. It's done. It's bad. I don't even know what you're talking about. Sure, I know the circumstances, but it doesn't bother me anymore because it's in the past. It's done. It's over with. And that's what God says when He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that good? When He saved us, it's gone. It's done forever. I said, well, Lord, look at all these terrible things that I've done. He said, what are you talking about? I don't see them anymore. I see the blood of Jesus Christ dripping down that cross. And you are crucified with Him. And you are living in Him. Accept His forgiveness. Accept the life that He has for us. When it comes to those things that we want to hang on to. Dare say that is the greatest lesson that every Christian needs to learn, and we never really fully learn it. But I'm so thankful that God, and I can't comprehend God, a sinful being like me, look down on the cross and say, Father, forgive me. And I look at Jesus on the cross and I hear Him say those words, I see His eyes. God, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. God, He already forgave me. And then I can be alive in Him. Yet crucified with Christ, risen with Christ. I'm going to ask you to stand.